الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أيحسب الإنسان أن لم يره أحد؟ وقال تعالى: ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this beautiful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. And then we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the privilege that Allah allowed us to witness 23 days of this blessed month of Ramadan. One finds it hard to comprehend, we are already on day 23. There was a nice post that we came across the other day which said, بِالْأَمْسِ كُنَّا نَقُولُ يَا رَمَضَانَ أَهْلًا أَهْلًا. Just yesterday we were calling out and welcoming the month of Ramadan. Welcome, welcome, O blessed month. وَالْآنَ نَقُولُ مَهْلًا. But now we're forced to say, O Ramadan, wait, slow down, take it easy, where are you rushing? 23 days have gone. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and Allah's privilege upon us that Allah allowed us one more time in our lives the honor of witnessing this blessed month of Ramadan. And we've enjoyed 23 days of this blessed month, two odd nights already of the last 10 nights of this blessed month of Ramadan, we've had the privilege of enjoying. So we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let us understand that we have very little time left in this blessed month. And we need to make the best of whatever opportunities present themselves to us in these remaining days of the blessed month of Ramadan. So respected brothers and elders, this month comes with many blessings and a lot of goodness, apparent goodness, inner goodness. You look around you and you can just see it's the month of Ramadan. Why? Because there's a decrease of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month of Ramadan. Everybody cuts down, everybody turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's another nice post we came across. They say, we all know shaitan is locked up in the month of Ramadan, so that added influence of shaitan is taken away from us. So this post said, the awkward moment in the month of Ramadan when you realize that it's not shaitan that's the problem. It's not shaitan that was the cause, because now that added influence is taken away. But if you still find some weakness or you're indulging in wrong, then it's that awkward moment when you come to the realization that it's not actually shaitan that was the whole problem. There's somebody else that needs attention and you need to work on, and that's our inner selves. But the month of Ramadan comes with this goodness where we see so much more good apparent in society. People dress differently, people interact differently. Everybody has that respect and honor of the blessed month of Ramadan to a certain extent within themselves. Unfortunately, the sad reality is there are those individuals, whether it's the month of Ramadan, whether it's not the month of Ramadan, there's no real difference in their lives. In fact, sometimes people say, no, we just want to balance the scales. What's the use of overdoing it? We're going in a normal fashion that we normally continue in. But in general, the month of Ramadan brings this goodness. But since 23 days have gone, and we have just about a week left in this blessed month of Ramadan, we got to ask ourselves a very important question. What happens once the month of Ramadan passes by us? Are we going to be who we were in the month of Ramadan, or are we going to revert back to who we were prior to the month of Ramadan? That's a very important question. And in particular, I'm going to single out very important issues that we're battling with in society. In general, life is difficult. There's many challenges that people are going through. Some people are going through the financial struggle. Some people are going through marital problems. Some people are going through depression. Everybody has their challenges that they're dealing with. But with all these challenges, right now as we speak in this 21st century, we're dealing with a far greater challenge. We dealing with something major and something big. But the sad reality is, while people will speak about the economy and the ups and downs and how tough it is out there in business, people will also speak about sometimes how challenging marriage is. People will speak about all the challenges that they are facing. This challenge that we're facing, nobody bats an eyelid. Nobody is even concerned. Nobody even acknowledges it as a problem and a challenge that we're facing in society. And this problem and challenge has got to do with technology. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on us that Allah has allowed us the privilege to witness this 21st century. We witnessing the height of advancement of man. Life has never been more easier and simpler to go through. Everything at the touch of a button. The whole world has now come into the palm of your hand. Everything is super fast. Internet, Wi-Fi, the works. So while we are enjoying these privileges and these ni'mats, all of us need to take one moment to stop and one moment to pause. And in particular, we need to look firstly at our mobile phones and then look at this technology and ask yourself a few very, very pertinent questions. That number one, is this device and technology making my life a little more easier in this world at the expense of making my year after more difficult? Ask yourself that question. Then ask yourself another question, because we seem to be going through a patch of load shedding, etc. So sometimes, you know, there's a torch on that phone. So it's giving you light. Then ask yourself another question. Is this device giving me a little bit of light in this world at the expense of darkening my year after? So number one, is it making my life easier in this world at the expense of making my year after difficult? Or is it bringing me a little bit of light in this world at the expense of bringing me darkness in the year after? It's no small thing. These are serious questions that we need to pose for ourselves. Because we are so consumed by this technology. Everybody is involved. Young, old, everyone. Male, female, across the board. Rich, poor, everyone is involved. We all consumed by it. We amazed by it. We indulge in and we continuing to indulge. But we need to stop and look at the repercussions. And there's one very great setback and repercussion that we are suffering because of this. And that is, there's a great decrease of haya and modesty in the ummah. It's becoming a thing of the past. One wonders what's going to happen 10 years down the line. Haya is a great quality of a believer. It's a hallmark of a Muslim. It's part of your iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that al-haya'u shu'batum min al-iman. Modesty is a branch of your faith. It's a branch of your iman. It can never be separated from you. And in fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has warned, and he said that amongst a common message that all the prophets of Allah had come with to their people. So the first prophecies of the prophets that had reached mankind was a common statement amongst the anbiya to their people, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. When you lose modesty, then do as you wish. Because when you lose modesty, you losing your moral compass in life. Now you won't be able to differentiate between right and wrong, between good and bad, between wholesome and not. You can't see. You can see, but your vision is blurred. That's what happens when you lose modesty. And today people are doing as they wish. Everybody is going with the flow. Because we are losing this great quality of haya and modesty. This quality that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had outstanding in his life. Sahaba always speak about the level of modesty in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then look at the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. How Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had instilled this wonderful quality of modesty within their ranks. Every Friday, or many a Friday, we listen in the second khutbah to tribute being paid to Uthman radiyallahu anhu, that great Sahabi, the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the only man in the history of humanity to have the privilege of marrying two daughters of a Nabi, Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And almost every Friday we hear, وَأَصْدَقُهُمْ حَيَاءً Uthman. That individual from amongst the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who displayed the highest level of modesty was none other than Uthman radiallahu anhu. In fact, on other occasions, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself paid tribute to the level of haya and modesty that was found in the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But look into the lives of all the other sahaba radiallahu anhum. Let's look at another companion, famous companion of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And let's look at the level of haya and modesty that he had in his life. He says regarding himself, إِنِّي لَأَغْتَسِلُ فِي الْبَيْتِ الْمُظْلِمِ. He says, I choose to bath in complete darkness. Not because of load shedding, even though at that time there was no electricity, but they had means for light. If they wanted to light up a place, they had their means to do so. But he says, I voluntarily choose to bathe in complete darkness. And he says, I don't stand up straight. Now from this we learn that the ideal way or method for a person to take a ghusl or a bath is for him to do so in a seated posture, because this also contributes to haya and modesty. Because generally when you bath in, then you don't have clothes on your body. So if you're seated, it's more modest. Nothing wrong with standing. No sin whatsoever upon you. People are very, you know, personal and passionate about their showers and their bathing time. That's their own personal time. So we don't want to interfere with that. There's nothing wrong with you standing and having a shower. Fine, it's perfectly fine, but ideal would be for you to sit. Ya Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says, I don't stand up straight until I have covered my body. But why? Why? He's in complete seclusion. When you're in the shower, you're in complete seclusion. You don't have any clothes on your body. You're having a shower, you can even have all the lights on, no problem. Put a spotlight to if you want. Nobody is stopping you. You're not forced to bathe in darkness. But he says, I choose to bathe in complete darkness and I don't stand up straight until I have covered my body. Why? Haya'an min Rabbi Azza wa Jal. Out of modesty that Allah's gaze is upon me. Allah is looking at me. How can I stand up with no clothes on, knowing that Allah's gaze is upon me? Now in a situation where there's nothing wrong, if a person is bathing with the lights on, no clothes on, you stand in, and thereafter you cover your body, no problem. But look at the level of haya and modesty in the life of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, that he says, I don't have the heart to do that because Allah's gaze is upon me. And that was in complete seclusion. What has happened to the ummah that live in complete seclusion? Today in public we make a display of ourselves. Today in public we expose ourselves. Where's our modesty of our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where's our consciousness of the gaze of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us? Allah says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّمْ يَرَهُ أَحَدٍ. Does man think that nobody is looking at him? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah is looking? Allah is watching. Does he forget that? What has happened to us today? Leave seclusion. Actually, even in seclusion, you know, we got to address certain issues, because that was in a bathroom, in a place of seclusion. Today in our homes, we got to look at it and ask ourselves. We've done away even with the bathroom door. Even now the bathroom lies open. The shower now also is see-through. Everything is see-through. So these are things that we need to go back to the drawing board. Where's haya and modesty in our life? Where's that hallmark of a Muslim? Where's this quality that's supposed to be outstanding and shining within us? But today we want to go with the flow. We want to indulge like everyone. Today we have Facebook. Today we have Instagram. So everybody's life must be a public display. We constantly clicking away. We constantly taking selfie after selfie. If we're not taking selfies of ourselves, we clicking photos of our children. And the world must see my life. My world must be a public display. I must be a celebrity. You see, in the past, it's wrong, but we had limited technology, so people had television. So we looked at the stars on the screen. We looked at the stars in the magazine or in the newspaper, and it was far away from us. How is it that we can be on camera? We can't be on TV. But today technology has evolved. Now you can be like a star. The star takes a picture and posts it. You can do the very same. The star is starring in a video. You can take a self-made video. So you're not far away. So we going with the flow. And when it comes to going with the flow, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ وَهُوَ يَعِذُ أَخَاهُ فِي الْحَيَاءِ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once passed by a man who was admonishing his brother with regards to the aspect of haya and modesty in his life. So in a nutshell, the one man is telling his brother, listen my brother, you need to take it easy. You too shy. You too modest. You need to go with the flow. Take it easy. Why are you so shy? This was the conversation that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up to that man and said, da'hu, leave your brother. Stop what you're doing. Leave him. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Because modesty is part of his iman. Don't tell him to let go. Don't tell him to go with the flow. Leave him as he is. He's perfect that way. Because modesty is part of his iman. So from this we learn, as an ummah and as believers, we don't go with the flow. We don't pose and expose. We don't get carried away with the trends of society. Allah has honored us with iman. Allah has honored us with haya in our lives. Why is it that we want to dishonor ourselves for this temporary fame, joy and happiness? It's bringing us moments of joy in this world, but is it going to be at the expense of bringing us misery and heartache in the year after? A little bit of fun in this world. You know, people always say, we're going to have fun, we want to have fun. To what extent you're going to have fun? Where's the limit in having fun? Is this world a place of fun? Allah describes the people of Jannah, the inhabitants of Jannah, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. The inhabitants of Jannah on that day, they will be engrossed in joy and happiness. That's a place for fun. That will be your occupation. That's the place to continue smile, laugh and joke. Not this world. For this world, it's for the disbelievers. It's Jannah for them. So they will constantly go with the flow. They will find everything funny and everything will be a joke. You know, somebody say, no man, talk about serious things. You know, look what's happening in the world. The ummah is suffering. Let's talk about serious issues. These are small things. Now, children are having fun. We're all having fun. It's nothing serious. It's very serious. You want to know how serious it is? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْحَيَا وَالْإِيمَانِ قُرَنَاءُ جَمِيعًا. Modesty and your iman are two close companions. They inseparable friends. إِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرِ. If one is taken out of the picture and one is separated, the other is slowly but surely going to follow. Now does that mean if I don't have haya now, I'm not going to be a Muslim? You'll still be a Muslim. But you will lose value of important aspects of your deen. Everything will become small. So nothing will remain big in your eyes. Your vision will be blurred. It will be obscured. Now while we have this problem and we're battling with it with the youth, we got to beg and ask ourselves the question, what has happened to the elders of today's society? We understand the children are obsessed with it. They're going through that phase of youth in their life where they have all these challenges and everything is so much more enticing to them. But what has happened to the elders? May Allah shower the choicest of His mercies upon our elders of the past. They had limited resources. They had limited knowledge. But they had value of deen within themselves. They had certain outstanding qualities in their lives. So nothing stopped an elder of the past. If he saw something, he or she saw something not right in the home, immediately they would rectify the situation. So in the past, if a youngster, for an example, his hair was not cut in the correct manner, nothing stopped an elder of the past from saying, oh my boy, that's not how it works in this home. You need to conform, you need to come right. If a girl was dressed immodestly in the past, nothing stopped an elder of the past of immediately addressing the situation. Oh my daughter, oh my granddaughter, that's not the way you dress. That's not the way a Muslim dresses. That's not acceptable in this home. That was the elders of the past. But what has happened to the elders of today? You know, they say you're only young once, but you can remain immature indefinitely. You're only young once, you're not going to stay the same age. You'll advance in age, but you can remain immature indefinitely. You need to decide when you want to grow up in life. That choice is left up to you. Today even the elders have become consumed. So today we are, instead of finding a problem with immodesty, we encourage in it. So a girl will be dressed in an immodest manner, and instead of the elders finding a problem with it, they say, MashaAllah, so beautiful you're looking. A boy will be in an immodest manner, everyone will say, MashaAllah. And then take it a step further, a girl will post an immodest pic of herself for the world to see. She will upload it for the world to see, for men to ogle at, for people to stare at. And instead of people finding a problem with it, even the grandfather will say, "Mashallah, see how beautiful my granddaughter is." He'll put a comment. The granny will put a like. The mother will say, "Wow, my angel, subhanallah." Is this modesty? You want to say mashallah in your home. But is this something to be proud of? Is this what is iman and haya and modesty? No, definitely not. But you see, it looks so fun. It looks so good. It looks so appealing. So we just go in with the flow. But we cannot go with the flow. Modesty has to be part of our life. Somewhere we have to stop. We have to go back to the drawing board. We have to ask ourselves, is this right or wrong? Irrespective of whether the world is indulging or not. But somebody has to make a start. You know how serious it is, especially with our women folk posing and exposing themselves? We know the famous hadith of when a man came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he requested permission for zina. He said, "Ya Nabi Allah, i'dhalli bi zina." He knew it was wrong. He was in a desperate situation. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I'm asking for permission. I know it's wrong. I want to fulfill my passion and my desire in this manner." What method did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use to explain to this man the error of his thoughts and the seriousness of the crime that he wanted to commit? What was the method? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to use the method of speaking about the woman closest to him. He said, "Oh my sahabi, would you like somebody to perpetrate that act with your mother?" He said, "No." Then he said, "The one that you'll do that with is the mother of someone else. Would you like somebody to do that to your sister?" He said, "No." He said, "The one you will do that act with is the sister of someone else." So he used the woman closest to him as examples. Because by nature, the makeup of a man in particular is such that he will protect the honor of the woman around him the most. Nothing. He'll sacrifice his life for their honor. The honor of his mother, the honor of his sister, the honor of his wife, the honor of his daughter. That's the natural characteristic of a man. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to this man in this manner, then he realized the seriousness of the wrong. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for him. But when he responded to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's questions of, "Would you like somebody to do that with your mother?" He said, "No," but he never stopped there. He said, "I won't like it, but humanity will detest something like that. It's not acceptable to me, but it's not acceptable to humanity." Now let's ask ourselves serious questions. Do I, as a man, have a problem, or does it affect me? Or does it make me uncomfortable that somebody is casting a lustful glance at the picture of my daughter? Does it make me uncomfortable? Does it make me sad? Does it bring me grief that somebody is casting a lustful glance at the picture of my wife? That somebody is casting a lustful glance at the picture of my mother? We can say, "No, we curtail our followers, etc. You know, it's about who you allow to see your pictures." No, that's a false world. You can screenshot it, you can send it to the whole world. Nobody got control of that. Not only that, every post or every picture that's uploaded on the internet, that's a digital tattoo. You think it's deleted? Think again. You think you deleted it from your account, it's gone? No, trust me, it's there, up there in that cloud. Ask Mr. Zuckerberg, he'll send it for you if you want it again. Nothing is erased. These are things that will haunt us. They are there. Now, do we have a problem or not? Because sometimes we're happy. "Wow, look at how beautiful they're looking." No. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna li kulli deenin khuluqa." He said, every religion came with a distinctive trademark. Every religion came with a distinctive trademark. It came with a defining characteristic. Wa khuluqul islami al haya. And the defining characteristic and the distinctive trademark of my ummah is haya and modesty. That's what defines us from the rest of humanity. We are proud to be different. It's not that we're suffering from some sort of inferiority complex and we're looking for joys and we're looking for pleasure. There's only one like we all need to secure in our existence in this world. We get happy when people like our pictures and our posts. There's only one like you need to secure. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if by chance you still want to post and you still want to upload, every time you take that picture, look at that picture, but don't look at it like how you normally look at it with the eye of a celebrity. Look at that picture with the eye of iman. Look at that picture with the eye of haya and ask yourself, "I might like how I look in this picture. The world might love how I look in that picture. But does Allah like how I look in that picture? Look at it through the eye of haya. That's the difference. And then you will see the difference. Ask yourself, if our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam by chance had to see that, would he be pleased or not? Would Allah be happy or not? We only need to secure the pleasure of Allah. What's the point of having 1,000 people liking your pictures, 2,000 people following you on Twitter, Facebook, etc., and yet you got nobody to back you up when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Everybody will run away from you. In this world, people liked your post, but when you stand before Allah, they will turn against you. If they are held accountable for looking at what they're not supposed to look at, then they will not go down on their own. They will say, oh Allah, it's his fault. Ask him. He posted the picture. I only liked it, but he posted it. So in this world, we get excited when people like our pictures. Don't get excited, brother. Rather, you cry. Because he likes it in this world, he's going to hate it in the year after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. But really, the month of Ramadan comes, there's a decrease of all this wrong. But in the moment the sun of Eid comes, that moon of Eid comes, why is it that the sun of our a'mal sets? Same time, there's a drastic change. There's like a subtle wind that blows. It blows away the scarves. It blows away the kurtas. It blows away everything. Everything gone out of the door. But let's make it different this year. Let's try and establish haya once again in our lives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma kana al-fuhshu fi shay'in illa shanau." Whenever immodesty or immorality is brought in any equation, it does nothing but tarnish it. It does nothing but make it filthy, make it detestable to society. وَمَا كَانَ الْحَيَاءُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ. And whenever modesty is brought in any equation of your life, it does nothing but beautify it. It does nothing but bring goodness. الْحَيَاءُ لَا يَأْتِي إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. Modesty will only bring goodness in your life. You might think you're missing out on a little bit of fun in this world. Miss out on that fun. But see what goodness Allah will give you when you stand before Him on the day of Qiyamah. Make that sacrifice now and see the pleasure and the delight that Allah will give you on the day of Qiyamah. So we need to look at these phones and we need to look at these technologies and ask ourselves serious questions. Is it making our lives easier in this world at the expense of making our year after more difficult? Is it bringing us a little bit of joy in this world at the expense of bringing us heartache in the year after? And is it bringing us a little bit of light in this world at the expense of darkening our year after? So I'll leave you with these words. They say, think before you click, ponder before you post, and reflect before you regret. Think before you click, ponder before you post, and reflect before you regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.